Suppose, my friend, you've got this faith thing inside out, back to front, upside down. Suppose you're in a punching yourself out of a bag that you're not in. Supposing you're trying to rattle away at a doorknob, trying to open a door from a room that you really are not trapped in. What an odd kind of thing. But the fact is, the gospel shows us that our reality is delusional. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens. Thanks for joining me. You're listening to a broadcast on Good News. Good news about Jesus Christ, who has introduced a kingdom to us, invisible though it may be, more real than the one we see before our eyes. And as we put trust in him, we find a new kind of growth and progress that we never thought possible. Now, my friends, we're looking at Romans chapter 14. And this is one of the four chapters that's talking about how to love the world. First of all, let's learn how to love ourselves in relation to this, and then we'll see what it can mean for others. Paul says, "Receive one who is weak in faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things, for one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables." Now, my friends, weak in faith. You've heard me talk about it yesterday and the day before. I'm going to keep hammering away at it for a while. The truth is that many, many people have a completely distorted idea of what weak in faith means. They're continually trying to get stronger in faith that they might overcome this and that. Perhaps they have a struggle with drugs or alcohol or food issues, a weight problem, worry, anxiety. Perhaps they have panic attacks. Maybe they simply go on endlessly in the cycle of worry, and they say, "If only my faith were stronger." By that they mean, if only I could have stronger faith so that I could overcome my tendency to worry, or I could overcome my tendency to alcohol or drugs or sexual addiction or food issues. But they may well be trying to punch themselves out of a bag that they're not in. They may have faith upside down, inside out, and you may be one of them, and we are all one of them at one time or another in our lives. Because as I pointed out to you yesterday and the day before, the context of weak in faith is very, very different from what it was, from what we thought it was. I paused there because I had in mind a presentation I gave at a church in the Denver area several years ago, and I talked about this weakness in faith, and somebody didn't hear the explanation. He only heard the phrase, and he was deeply, deeply offended because he was struggling with alcoholism, alcoholic struggler. And he thought that I was saying that he was weak in faith because he had a struggle with alcohol. Well, he was so up in arms that the person who invited me to the seminar or to teach invited me back at a special meeting to explain myself. And when I did, this man, was all very humbled and very apologetic. The thing is, you see, that people, when they hear the word weak in faith, they say, "Oh, that's me. I just don't have the wherewithal." I was going to use a rather vulgar word for a minute. I don't have the wherewithal to overcome. I don't have the strength to overcome. But I'll tell you, the context isn't that, my friends. And if you learn the context, then you will switch the paradigm completely. And you will go in another direction, which will be an enormously powerful boost to your Christian life. So, even at the risk of repeating myself, because I said this yesterday and the day before, but it takes a long time to get it into our noodles, I'm going to say again what I truly believe it means. Paul, as you know, has been spending many chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8, explaining what faith in Christ is all about. The first thing he mentions in chapter 3 is, well, not the first thing, but a major thing, the major thing, if you like, in that chapter, is that Christ is the propitiation. What in the world does that mean? It means that Christ appeased the wrath of God. Now, Christ is God. Christ is one with God. And God, therefore, took his own wrath and settled it upon himself. To propitiate is to appease, to lessen the impact of, to reduce the power of, to quieten down. God appeased himself, quietened himself down in all his wrath against the tragedy of the world and the sin of the world and the grief and sorrow and chaos of the world by taking all of its judgment upon himself. This is the major central message of the Christian faith, that God has taken our judgment. Now, it is very, very hard to believe that, you understand, because when we go through the daily round of our lives and we make a mess here and we were unwise over here and should have done something days before or weeks before and now we find ourselves in the consequences, it is so easy to condemn ourselves. When we sin particularly and block God out in order to have our pleasures, then again we feel shame and guilt, and we feel as though we want to punish ourselves. Some people do it literally. I told you the other day about somebody who banged his head against the concrete wall of a parking lot and made it bleed. He found himself able to sort of settle his guilt that way. Of course, it didn't work very long. But many of us who don't go to such extremes nevertheless are condemning ourselves and judging ourselves and telling ourselves we're stupid and why did you do that? You can't do anything right, etc. And all of that talk is an attempt to appease God, that is, to lessen the impact of our guilt by condemning ourselves. But you see, Paul is going to make it very, very clear that we don't have to do that, because God has taken his own wrath, and therefore, according to chapter 4, verse 5, he declares innocent the wicked. He does not put wrath upon them. He does not put judgment upon them, because he's put it upon himself. So he declares us innocent. Well, we're not innocent, are we? But he declares us so. He treats us as if we were. He accounts us, as Romans 3 reveals, or rather 4, is it? The first part of 4. Verse 4, I think, 3 and 4. He accounts us as righteous. Now, to believe that is strong in faith, is to be strong in faith. Father, I'm counted as righteous. Oh, but I feel so wicked. I want to condemn myself. I feel so unworthy. But Father, I refuse such feelings and thoughts and recriminations of my mind, for you count me righteous. That is strong in faith, do you see? Now think of it. What an incredible gargantuan shift in paradigm that is. Here you have been trying to be strong in faith in regard to overcoming a problem, and when you don't overcome your habit or addiction, then you feel weak and condemned and ashamed. And God says, no, 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 no. You're in the wrong direction, my son, my daughter. I count you righteous even if you failed. That is strong in faith. And so you say, Father, though I feel so ashamed, though I want to condemn myself, I praise you that you count me as innocent. You do not treat me as a sinner. I praise you that I'm reconciled to you, even though I feel very far away from you. That is strong in faith. And do you see what effect it will have on your sin struggle? It will calm you down. It will give you more tenacity, more get up and go, more resilience, more ability to stay the course. It will give you more courage in the midst of temptation not to get frightened by condemnation. And you will be able to say to yourself, even though this temptation is racking my body, I praise God, I praise you, Father, that I'm not condemned and not abandoned. And you will find yourself more often than not able to say no. And so, you see, weakness in faith is not having the ability to overcome. Weakness in faith is not having the courage to believe you are okay when you have failed. It is weakness in faith is believing that the slightest failure will cut you off from God. Now, you see, this is what Paul means about this person who leaves the meat market and is not quite sure about the quality of meat that he bought. Was this sacrificed to an idol before he bought it? Should he not have asked? Maybe he should go back and return the meat, but then the guy wouldn't accept the return and refund him. So he has to go home with this meat, and he's all worried and doubtful when he's cooking it because he's afraid that he might be condemned. And God assures his mind, there is no condemnation. This meat, clean or unclean, offered to idols or not, has no power to condemn you, for Christ has taken all your sins on the cross. Don't trivialize his sacrifice by a piece of meat. And this man, his courage surges, and he goes forth, cooks the meat, and eats it in faith. As it says in Romans 14, the same chapter, verse 23, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. What an incredible revelation this is, my friends. Think how it will change your direction and your emphasis. Oh yes, you're heading for some new growth. What are you doing tomorrow morning, my friends? Well, get your togs on and just trot on over to the seminar and join me on Saturday tomorrow at 9 in the morning, 28th of July. This may be 4 o'clock for you. Well, just have a day without sleep, because you'll get a wonderful rest on Saturday night if you turn up at my seminar on Saturday morning, because it will refresh your mind. We're going to look at how to counsel ourselves through Romans chapter 8. To put this another way, my friend, if you need more of the same, that is, more of what I just taught you, then come to this seminar, because this is going to redirect your mind. It's going to get you onto the real issue. You know that we have been counseling ourselves badly for years and decades. Most of us wear ourselves into the ground, you know. We mentally kill ourselves, ultimately, because we're feeling ashamed and we condemn ourselves. We feel that we are unworthy, we feel that we can't cope, we feel ashamed, and we reinforce all of that by saying things to ourselves that are negative, or by simply living with that lump of shame in ourselves. But the message of the book of Romans chapter 8 is that because of Christ, we have a new courage to believe that we are counted as whole in him, righteous in him, resurrected in him, and that all the little deaths that we go through in a day are instruments of life. Now, how can I think this way? Well, by slowly walking through with me chapter 8 of Romans. I invite you to turn up tomorrow. Listen, admission is free. You don't have to pay, although donations are gladly accepted and needed. But don't worry if you can't. La Quinta Inn, 7190 West Hampden Avenue in Lakewood. That's the south frontage of West Hampden Avenue between Wadsworth and Sheridan. See you there tomorrow morning. And I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.